Behold means see. If I say behold, see, all things has become new. So God is saying, see it. All things has become new.
Pastor Benga's teachings constantly remind me of who I am in Christ, and now I can live every day of my life in that consciousness.
Pastor Benga's message has been precise and understandable for me. That helped me understand and see God's plan towards my finance.
You're about to listen to a message by Pastor Olu Benga Taiwo, brought to you by Justified House Media. We know that you'll be blessed as you open your heart to receive God's words.
1 Corinthians chapter 14. So we shall be continuing from where we stopped on Sunday. We're looking at spiritual gifts, spirituals. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. As spoken about prophecy is not foretelling. Foretelling means to talk about future events, past events, and all those things. But prophecy, verse 3 says, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. So the words that come through prophecy are for edification, to build up the church, to build up the person that is being ministered to. Amen. Exhort means to when someone is exhorted, it means to encourage. Do you understand? To encourage. Encouragement. And comfort. So that's the work of prophecy. There was nothing about prophecy here that shows about foretelling of events or things. So he says, but rather that ye will prophesy. That means rather speaking, giving ourselves to the gift of prophecy, that we may be able to speak to one another in edification, in encouragement, and in comforting one another. Hallelujah. And this comes through us, it comes through the working of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they work by faith. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they work by faith. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they work by faith. They work by faith. Because everything about God, when we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 14, let's look at Hebrews chapter 14. Hebrews chapter 11. Sorry, I say Hebrews chapter 14. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith, it's impossible to come to God. Without faith, it's impossible to do anything about God. God is a God of faith. So if we can even receive Christ without faith, the Bible makes us understand that we receive salvation through faith. Amen. So if we receive Jesus by faith, we are to live by faith. Amen. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they walk by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, according to the gift of grace, according to the grace that is given to us. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the what? Proportion of faith. You see? So according to the proportion of faith, one prophesies. So faith, all the gift of the Holy Spirit, they walk, even the one of walking of miracles. The Bible makes us understand in the book of Galatians. It says, he that worketh miracles among you, doeth it by faith or by the works of the law. Look at that's Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. You see, doeth he it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's another gift, walking of miracles. So the gift of the Holy Spirit, they work according to the proportion of faith of the minister who is administering the gifts. Amen. They walk according to the proportion of faith that is made available. So going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it says, but that he was talking to the church that desiring spiritual gift is wonderful, but it says, but rather we may prophesy. So God wants us to what? To desire the gift of prophecy to be at work so much in the church. For encouragement, for comforting one another. Hallelujah. For building up one another. Verse 2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, note that word. He used unknown. Because the writer did know how to categorize this kind of tongue. It's different from the one that was written in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you see there, these are gifts of the Spirit that were given to the person who is ministering to minister to others. The working of miracles is to minister to others. It's for the benefit of all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? It's for the benefit of all. But when you look here, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Did you see that? So it's not for the benefit of all. It's not for the benefit of men. This one is for the benefit of himself. So the writer of this is like, it's different. It's a different kind of tongue. So that's why they use the word unknown. He says, however, in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So, Kenneth Hagin says, tongue is the doorway to the supernatural. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the doorway. There's an evangelist called Todd White who ministers in the gifts of healings. You know, I watch some of his videos. He does street evangelism. And so he was saying about how, you know, he had a vision to minister to 1,000 persons who were sick. And sometimes he would not be bold. He would just go speak in tongues. Maybe before he enters the supermarket. You know. And then he would just go, okay, talk to people. Are you sick or something? And he lay hands on them. Speaking in tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. Like I said earlier, if one doesn't give himself to speaking in tongues, yeah, it's likely he wouldn't work effectively in the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given unto him. Speaking in tongues. That even prophesying. When you actually check the Bible, when you go to verse 4, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. Prophesied means to speak. If you look at verse 5, it says, I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. It says, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaketh with tongues. This tongue here is talking about unknown tongues. It says, except he interprets that the church may receive edifying. Meaning interpretation of tongues can also come to what? To edifying someone. So interpretation of tongues can become what is called prophecy. Do you understand? Interpretation of tongues can become what is called prophecy. Could edify, to encourage someone. Puri kalabahaya. It could encourage someone. It could comfort someone when a tongue is being interpreted. Nevertheless, interpretation of tongue doesn't just mean all prophecy. Because a tongue can be interpreted and it can show, the interpretation of tongue could actually be a word of knowledge. Could talk to maybe about somebody's future, about someone's, you know, about a past event or something. So not all interpretation of tongues is prophecy. But interpretation of tongues could be prophecy. Interpretation of tongues could edify someone. Hallelujah. Could exhort the brethren. Could exhort the church. So that's why he says that the church may receive edifying. Note, as we said, all these are what? They work by the proportion of faith. What is faith? Faith, do you see something? Is faith that is faith? Is faith that is, I mean, is faith if once you said I want to see it before I believe, is that faith? No, is that it? Is that faith? No, that's not faith. Oh, I want to see that I have, okay, we pray, maybe rain is falling. Oh, and you pray, Father, in Jesus' name, I speak to this rain to stop. Then person begin to say, oh, I want to see that the rain has stopped before I know that I already have what I said. Is that faith? No, that's not faith. Faith is already done, or maybe healing. You prayed for someone to be healed, and then you want to see that the person leg has closed up before you believe that it is healed. No, that is not faith. Do you understand? So faith calleth things which be not. I mean, things which cannot be seen as though it already exists. Praise the Lord. So we minister according to the proportion of faith. And faith becomes active when it's put to use. Do you hear what I'm saying? Faith becomes active when it is put to use. That's what the book of James talks about. The doer of the word. The moment someone says, okay, it's time to prophesy. Okay, he wants to step in. The moment the person says, okay, this person is sick, I want to put my hand. He wants to act on the word. Now, the person is putting his faith to work. He's putting the gift of God in his life to work. So it's not the one that someone just sits down on the chair and then thinks the word, I mean, the gift of healing will just be flowing. It doesn't just work with this. It works with even ministries. I was speaking with someone and someone was, the person is working maybe a 9 to 5 job and everything. And the person was saying that, I know the person is called as a minister and I was speaking to the person about, this was not what you and I mean, what we discussed about, you know. You said, you know, you're a minister. You said you want to go into ministry. And you know what he said? It was like, he just thinks the thing would just happen to him anyhow or something. I said, no. No. These are ministry. It's a work of faith. You are the one to step out. Are you hearing me? As the mean, if a person is called as an evangelist, he is the one to step out. If he's called as a pastor, he's the one to step out. Whatever you've been called to do, you are the one to step out. You are the one to put the word of God that has come to you. You have to put it to work. And as you put it to work, you grow, you expand, you increase. God increases the grace. His grace upon you increases, expands. He adds more unto you. But as the person still sits down, keeps, you know, sits where he is, doesn't want to act on who God has showed him he is or she is, just going to remain there. The same too with the gift as I've thought about. So this gift, the gift of the Spirit, they operate by faith. Amen. Verse 6 now says, now brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. By revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by doctrine. So we've said all this. So he says, what profit shall it be if I just come to you and just speaking in our known tongues? What profit shall it be unto you? And I wrote it in my note that these are actually this could come in interpretation of tongues. When tongues are interpreted, revelation could come. The knowledge of God could come. Prophesying could come. One could be open to doctrines, you know, by the Holy Spirit. He says, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. So he's saying, like he's saying here, he's saying if someone just comes and speaking in tongues, just like in a battle, if there is a sound and then the sound is not well interpreted, who shall know what the sound means? It's just like in those villages. I think from movies, sometimes there's a way they ring a bell. Not in movies. I remember while I was in Christ the King Catholic College, they actually ring a bell to let us know in the boarding school, to let us know the bell. I think the bell is, I don't know how they connected the bell everywhere, that the bell just sounds everywhere. But they ring it, I think maybe people ring it in different locations. But there is a way they ring a bell that it is as, we are able to interpret the meaning of the bell. We have what is called Angelus. I think Angelus then in the Catholic Church. Angelus then is, I think they believe angels pass at a certain time. Around 12, I think 12, around 12 and, I think 12 and 6. I think it's 12 and 6, around 12 and 6. So they believe angels pass at that time. And that whatever you're doing, you must stop it. And reverence the angels. Whatever you're doing. In fact, then they just, when someone was telling us, person was just like, you know, you might have to just pause. So if you're eating, just, if the spoon is in your mouth, just pause. But then, I think one of the Catholic priests made us understand that it's not just pause, just be on your feet, just stand up. And I don't think we're going to see anything. We're just supposed to just stand up and just be there. Just stand up. So by, I think 12 and 6, but I don't think they do it during the 12 a.m. because everybody's sleeping, because nobody will stand up. So there's a way they ring a bell. That bell. Because we have different bells. We have bells for it's time for food. We have bells for it's time for chapel. We have bells for different ones. But there's a way they ring Angelus bell. That when you hear the bell, you just know it's time. Without you even looking at your time, you just know it's time for Angelus. And you stand up. So that's what this place is saying here. That imagine that things, verse 7 says, things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sound. How shall it be known what is piped or what is harped? So if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? Like in villages, if the trumpet that is being blown is just blown anyhow. Because there is a certain way a trumpet is blown that people in the village or people in that city will be like, there's a battle going on. Everybody get prepared, whatever. If you have to go into your house, go into your house, lock yourself or whatever. Everybody's prepared. Maybe we have been attacked. But he said here that if the trumpet is blown anyhow in their days, because it's in their days, who shall prepare himself for battle? So he's saying, likewise, except you utter the tongue, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For he shall speak into the air. So he's talking about interpretation of tongues. If one is just speaking in tongues, the messages of the tongue could carry such heavy weight. But maybe the message of the tongue is signifying that something is coming. Oh, there is like I said, it could be anything. Maybe there's something that's going to happen tomorrow. There's something that's going to happen next tomorrow. Or something. Or God is trying to impress into the person's spirit what to do, how to do it. But the person, because he doesn't understand. All right. Because the person doesn't understand the message of the tongue. Because he doesn't know the message. Because when he's speaking in tongues, nobody... Evidently, nobody understands. He himself doesn't understand. That's what the Bible says in the book of, in that same chapter of verse 14. He himself, says, my understanding is unfruitful. So, because he's unfruitful, and because he has spoken in tongues, and he didn't give himself in a way to interpretation of tongues, you know, he misses out the blessing in it. So, that's exactly what he's trying to say here in verse verse 11 says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye excel to the edifying of the church. Because if the person, if I just come here now and I'm just speaking in tongues, like in messages, I speak in tongues for like maybe 30 minutes. You didn't know whether maybe what I was trying to pass across to you. Not you didn't know, because tongues, they carry a message. Every tongue has a message. Has either a revelation, a thanksgiving message, has a message. But the church will not be edified, because nobody will be able to understand what I'm saying. Amen. So that's why when he's talking about speaking in tongues, he talks about personal. Let the person speak, let him speak personally to himself. We are going to get there. He says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So, meaning, he's saying that if one wants to minister tongue, let's say you're coming to minister tongue, he says, pray that the person will be able to interpret the tongue he's saying. The person should pray that he's able to interpret. And when you pray for something, believe that you already have it. He says, verse 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayer, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. That means I will pray with the spirit means I will pray with tongues. Do you understand? Because praying in tongues is praying with your spirit. So verse 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. That means I will pray with tongues. I will pray with the understanding also. That means I will pray in English language. I'll pray in Chinese language. I'll pray in Yoruba. So praying in tongues is different from praying with the spirit. So that's why I told you, for you to grow your spirit man, pray in tongues. Your spirit man will grow so much. Your spirit, because when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking to God directly. You're not speaking to God through your, you know, if the Holy Spirit wants to speak to a natural, a Christian who uses his mind so much. The Holy Spirit would first have to find a way to interpret it in the language he understands. But it shouldn't be. God created us as spirit beings. We are supposed to receive signals from God. We are supposed to be able to say, I perceive the Holy Spirit is telling me this. I perceive this is what the Holy Ghost wants me to do. You just know that you know. You can't explain. It's the walking of the Holy Spirit. And it comes when one gives himself to praying in the Spirit. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. That means I will sing with tongues. How many of us sing in tongues? Huh? How many of us sing? Yeah, good. You sing in tongues. He says, I will sing with the understanding also. So you see, singing in tongues is different from singing with the understanding, singing in English. He says, else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. You see? That means we are able to bless with tongues. You can bless with tongues. He says, how shall he that occupy the room of your learned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understand not what you say? So even if you want to bless someone and you put hand on and you just speak in tongues and you just leave the person, he says, how shall the person even know maybe if it's to say amen? Because he doesn't understand the message you've just given him. So that's why verse 17 says, for thou verily givest thanks well. So speaking in tongues, when you're speaking in tongues in your private room, you are giving thanks to God well. That's what I was saying at the beginning of the message. Instead of one saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. What do you do? You want to give thanks well? Speak in tongues. Do you see? So instead of saying, thank you, Jesus, Father, I thank you, Father, I thank you. Don't say that. Just open your mouth. You want to sing? Sing in tongues. You're speaking directly to God, spirit to spirit. Amen. And the Bible says you give God thanks well. Verse 18 says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. He says, yet, that means in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding. You see that? Meaning in Paul's private prayer, he says what? I speak in tongues very much. I speak in tongues so much. More than his understanding. He says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Let me now teach a bit on this. Our tongue is a language. It's the language of the Spirit. The meaning of tongue is language. If you check your KJV Bible, they will say maybe it was written in English tongue or something. In the tongue of maybe the British. So, English tongue. So, when we speak in tongues, it's the language of the Spirit. The language of your spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has given your spirit that ability when you speak in tongues. Every language has words, right? English language is made up of words. Of words. Every word you can say is made up of letters. Or you can say letters makes up words. Words made up sentences, right? When you see someone like, there's this man that was in, I think maybe House of Assembly, that used to speak one big grammar. I don't know his name. Do you know the man? Is it House of Assembly or something? He used to speak one, they used to put it there, this funny, he's speaking, like, there are some big grammars he speaks, you know. And but what I'm just trying to pass across is that, to him, and he just speaks it fluently. You know, and people will just be laughing, like, what kind of, but when you check those words, those words actually mean what he means, what he wants to pass across. But though they are big, they are mighty, but in the same way too, let me bring it down. You might see someone who is unable to really speak in English very well, who maybe like a child of maybe 3 years old, who just still struggling with putting so many words together. Maybe you can just say, maybe daddy, mommy, okay. Maybe able to put four words together. Maybe I want to eat. I want to, you know. Or there are some big, long sentences. He might not be able to put those things together. It doesn't just mean English. Even in Yoruba, myself, I'm even a good example. There are some, I mean, I can't, I'm unable to put up long sentences of words in Yoruba, but short one, I can do that. In the same way, what Paul is saying here in verse 19, he says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, with English, that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. 10,000 words. Meaning Paul is trying to say at least he's even seen 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. That's the reason I was teaching some time ago why you see some people saying laba, 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 laba. Just two words. Some people for 3 years it's just laba, 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 laba they've been saying. Why? They've not given themselves to praying in the spirit. They've not given themselves to training. When you see someone who is 20 years old and the person cannot construct some stuff, you like, you ask yourself, did this person go to school, right? Because if the person has gone to school, if he has been under a wonderful tutor, he will be able to do what? To construct languages. I said languages. He will be able to construct at least good good sentences. He will be, at least, when he's speaking, you will know that this one is learned. Do you understand what I'm saying? But when someone is trying to, even some people, even just maybe five words that you even see they are breaking the grammar, then you know that this person is, he has not given himself to training. He has not given himself to a tutor. In the same way too, praying in the spirit. When you see someone who is just saying laba, 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 you don't have to say anything much. The person has not given himself to praying in the spirit. He doesn't pray in the Holy Ghost. He's always speaking English in the prayer. He has not given himself to praying in praying hourly. So give yourself to praying in the spirit. Amen. I believe that's the message of God today. I've been saying, you can see I've been saying it over and over again. That's the message of God. Give yourself. In fact, we are going to, because of this, the first we are during our meeting, we have to put up a plan for having a well-established prayer meeting. Maybe on Saturdays, maybe first Saturdays. I'm talking about elongated prayer meetings. Maybe first Saturdays by maybe 11 to 5 or something, or 11 to maybe 4 before we go out for evangelism. We'll just come and just pray in tongues. For like 4 hours, just praying tongues. So during our meeting, we'll have to give ourselves, we'll have to set up a time. We'll set up a time for that. Just come to church. When you just come to church, just there will be someone who will be leading. Just praying in tongues. Not praying in English. Come and pray in tongues. Come and pray in the spirit. Come and build up yourself in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20. Build up yourself. So we have to give ourselves to that. So it's not the one song, oh, la, ba, la, ba, la. Come on. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Say, I speak in tongues. Say, I speak in tongues. Yes. I give myself to speaking in tongues. Verse 20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding. That means don't be a child in understanding. Understand these things I'm saying. That's what Paul is saying. Be men in understanding. That's what he's saying. Be grow up in your understanding. See, however, in malice, that means in malice, in evil things, be children. But in understanding, be men. Be men. That means grow up as a man in understanding. He says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that, will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not for them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe. That believe not, but for them which believe. So tongues to us is not a sign. Tongues to us has now become one of the tools that we use to grow up ourselves. Amen. Tongues to us. If someone comes there and is speaking in tongues, would you be, hey, this person, oh, would you be looking at a person like that? No. Tongues to us is not a sign. So the believer, it shouldn't be a sign. But to those that believe not, it's a sign. Verse 23 says, if therefore the whole church become together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are unlearned and all believers, we don't necessarily say that you are mad, but if all prophesy, and there cometh in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, and he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God, he is in you and of a truth. How is in them, brethren? When you come together, every one of you had a psalm, a doctrine, and had a tongue, and had a revelation, and had an interpretation. Let all things be done unto a divine. He's talking about believers meeting. When we come together for, when he's talking about like a time when we want to just see the manifestation of God in our midst. When we come together for this, you know, he says, all things are done unto a divine. He says, if any man speaketh in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by, of course, let one interpret. So here, Paul is trying to say that for ministering to other people, because here he's the person who will be ministering to the church, he says, let there be an interpreter. Do you understand? Let there be an interpreter. Or if the person cannot interpret, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Did you see that? So Paul did not say, never speak in tongues. That's not what Paul is saying. Because even Paul says he speaks in tongues more than everybody. Paul said, let him speak to himself. So that's the reason why when we come here, we are saying, okay, let's pray in tongues. You are speaking to yourself. You are building up yourself. Amen. Like I said this morning, let's speak in tongues. You are speaking to yourself. Are you speaking to me? Were you speaking to me? No. But if I come here and I begin to speak in tongues as a message, I'm speaking to everybody. Nobody will understand. It's unfruitful to everybody. Amen. And even to do that, he said, let there be an interpreter. If there's no interpreter, I should be able to ask the Lord for interpretation and I should be able to interpret. Amen. Verse 29 says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. So this, when he's talking about let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge, if anything be revealed to another that seated by, let the first hold his peace. Reveal, revelation. So if anything is revealed, talking about, this is talking about word of knowledge. The person that is speaking, let the person hold his peace. So that the church can understand what God wants to do in our midst, or what God is doing, you know. He says, for you all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Did you see this? He says, for you all may prophesy. You all may prophesy one by one. One by one. One by one. And in a way, okay, the place where he also wrote, if one thing is revealed, that means if there, you know, sometimes like the last prayer meeting, I would ask, okay, was there anything revealed? Did God speak to you in your heart? You know, and Sister IBK shared, you know, and because that was what was revealed to her, and everybody just kept quiet, and she's, you know, kept quiet when she was speaking to us. Amen. So he's saying that everybody should not just start talking. Let it be one by one. And he says, for you all may prophesy one by one, that and everybody may learn and all may be comforted. And actually, that's this scripture makes us understand that everybody can prophesy. It doesn't mean everybody speaks at the same time. Everybody, when they give themselves to the Holy, when such a person prays in tongues, You know, and these things is by faith. You know, with interpretation of tongue, like I said earlier, interpretation of tongue can come in what? In prophecy. To edify the brethren. To edify the brethren, to exhort, encourage. So God could just put it in your heart. And this thing starts by faith. It's just like when we're praying in tongues, or I say praying in tongues, ministering to someone, for someone to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the first thing that could come to the person is, when the person wants to start speaking in tongues, maybe la or something. If the person doesn't say the la, the next word will not come. Do you understand? If the person doesn't now say the next, I mean, if the person doesn't start, this is how to flow in the Spirit. If the person doesn't start, the next one will not come. Talk about the other ones. And that is how the work of faith is. If you don't, like what we're doing, if you don't start, the next instruction will not come. So that is exactly how it works also with prophecy. It could just be in that God just put in your heart, say this. The moment you open your mouth and start saying it, the next thing, you start hearing what to say. Or the next instruction, you've just prompted to say the next thing. But the moment the person just keep quiet, that, I don't want to say it. Or the person begins to look down at himself. Not actually look down, but the person is looking at his own ability. Because if you know God is speaking through you, or if you know God said you should speak, you mean you should look at the ability of God, the person who has given it to you. But if you're looking at yourself that, I think I'm the one or something, you never see anything. Do you understand? So, to minister effectively, the person should rest on God. Rest on God, because you are not the one forming anything. Rest on Him. If He said, just speak this, open your mouth and just say it. The moment you say it, God will put more words in your mouth. Amen. God will put more words in your mouth. God will put more things in you to say. God will show you, share with you more revelations. Hallelujah. Then verse 32 says, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. As subject. That means the spirit of the prophet is not subject to God. That means it's not controlled by God in a way. That's what he's trying to say. You know, some people just say, oh, God is controlling me. I cannot stop. I'm just, you know, That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. That's what the scripture says here. They are subjects. So, like I said, the person can say, I don't want to prophesy anymore. I just want to stop. I want to start. I want to stop. Just like you can speak in tongues. And people think, oh, when the Holy Ghost come on me, oh, I'll just speak in tongues. No. Or when I think that for me to sing in tongues, I would have to pray in tongues for a while. And then from when I pray in tongues for a while, I'll just start singing in tongues. But when I came to realize this, I came to see that no, you can start and you can stop. It's subject to us. Amen. As he has said, everyone can speak it. I mean, everyone can prophesy. That means everyone has the ability. God has put it in us, giving us the control, giving to the prophets the control. Verse 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion. Who is now the author of confusion? The devil. For where there is confusion and every evil work. Where is that place again? The book of James. Okay, there is strife and every work. Okay, where there is strife. James. Yes, where there is strife and envy, there is confusion and every evil work. Where there is strife and there's confusion. When you see a confusion in it, it's not of God. It's the devil. You just know the devil is working in this area. So that's exactly what he's trying to say here. Where there is confusion, when we say, oh, the administration is, and there is confusion. It's not God. It says, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you look at verse 37. Look at verse 37. It says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? Are the commandments of the Lord. Did you see it? So, he wrote that these are commandments of the Lord. They are not my opinions. These are commandments of the Lord. They were not Paul's opinions. They were not. They did not come because of Paul's experience. No. These, just like our thoughts, these are words of God. Amen. These are words of God. This is the word of God that has come to you today. Ministering the Spirit. Walking of miracles. All these things. As we've seen, the underlying effect is faith. Faith. So, ministering the word, to minister the word effectively. So I said to minister the Spirit. It works by faith. Praise the Lord. Can we just
trust that you've been blessed? We love you to share your testimonies with us through our social media pages. You can also email us at justifiedhouseministries@gmail.com. We're invited to fellowship with us Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays 9 a.m. at Justified House Auditorium, Hamination, beside all your teaching hospital, Shagam, Ogun State, for a refreshing time with the Lord Jesus near your family.